of the measure of the man was related by a French journalist, Arnaud Desjardins, who worked with His Holiness and the Tibetan people for a number of months to develop a series of programs on the Tibetan tradition for the French broadcasting company. After several months of his presence among them, some rumors began to be circulated to the effect that actually he was an agent of the Chinese people and that he was going to create a series that would distort adversely and criticize and ridicule the Tibetan tradition. When that rumor came to the ears of His Holiness, this was his response. Really? So neither I nor my teachers nor any of the great gurus or yogis of our people, whether Galupa or Red Hat, was aware of his treachery or guessed his intentions in spite of their claims to clairvoyance and their reputation for wisdom. So this foreigner, this European, has managed with no difficulty at all to deceive every one of us? Well, in that case, Tibetan Buddhism deserves all the evil that he can say of it. And adds Desjardins, when I saw him again 3 months later and had prostrated myself at his feet, he took my arm in the friendliest way and we strode in silence up and down the veranda of his bungalow. Ladies and gentlemen, His Holiness the Dalai Lama.
Chancellor Eggers, my old friend, Professor Houston Smith, and friends. Whether outside is cold, I'm very happy to have this opportunity to speak to you here in a more warmer condition. I would also like to say thank you to those who have been connected with organizing this meeting. I'm to talk on a message from Tibet.
Now I would like to try to speak through my own usual broken English. So now here I am going to say I think two parts. One part, my main subject to talk, that is love, kindness. Then next, I am going to say something about the how to develop compassion through Buddhist technique, Buddhist practice. So now the first part. Wherever I go, I always talk about the inner peace, that is love, compassion, kindness. Because, you see, I myself practice as much as I can. And through practice, I myself gain some experience and some benefit about this practice. So with this experience and some experience, it can help in my daily life. And also it gives me some inner strength and courage to face problem more easier. And also it gives me some some inner tranquility, you see, stability. And also the love, the subject or the love is more or less all mankind, I think, they appreciate. Sorry. Appreciate the love. Because we, you see, right from the beginning, when we are a child, we grow under parents' kindness and love. Without parents' kindness and love, we could not survive. And not only we human beings, even animals, you see, there are a small one. I mean, the parent, I'm sure, some kind of, you see, attachment and some, you see, love, something like that. And also, when we, human being, become old and older, physically become weak, then again, we naturally very much depend on others' kindness. So you see, our life, beginning and at the end, kindness is something very, very, very important and very, very valuable in our life. So you see, if we and the practice of love, kindness is something, something. I think it's something like the principle of man's, human's life. Because of that, I think all religion, no matter in differences in philosophy, differences in certain the practice or certain ritual or certain, you see, certain things, but basically all religion emphasis on love, sense of brotherhood, sisterhood. So the compassion or kindness, love, so from the morally speaking, it is something very, very important, and in daily life also, it is really a source of happiness. Now again, once you yourself practice love, kindness, then you yourself feel most satisfaction and calm. As a result, around you, there are some people say vibration, or I don't know that. In any case, you see, some atmosphere, the peace, friend atmosphere will increase. So the other friends or neighbors, even your family members also share that that feeling or that atmosphere. So it is something something real and source of happiness. And also, you see, with love, with compassion, sometimes even you necessary to react some strong measure. But in deep down, if you have some compassion, kindness feeling, then you see, even the, on the surface, under circumstances, you may act something, rude or something tough measure. But in deep down, you may not lose the inner peace. And also, you see, because in innermost feeling, you still, not upset. So you are the human, the potential or our, you see, power to judge, judgment also, remain. The other word, you see, if we lose the inner peace and if we angry or hatred like that, these I usually call bad thoughts, you see. With these bad thoughts, we easily lose our, you see, potential to judge which is right, which is wrong. And through anger, through hatred, we can read history. You see, there are many things, many people with anger, with, something, strong attachment, hatred, the all, you see, unfortunate things happened. So you see, once your strong emotional feeling comes, then our sense of, you see, judging is great risk or great danger to lose. So in various viewpoint, the kindness is in daily life something very useful. And also, you see, from the viewpoint at the present, our world situation. Now, for instance, in economic field, now we are heavily dependent on each other. So here, unless we have some genuine, sympathetic cooperation, we will face, you see, endless, you see, additional problem. If we have genuine cooperation on the basis of human understand, on the basis of love, kindness, I think we will solve at least some part of our problem. So here you see the major disaster, these things we cannot avoid. But certain problems, if we look carefully, the many problems created by ourselves. So usually I call the man-made problem. Now due to ideology, due to certain small differences, we are fighting each other. We are hated each other. You see, these problems are actually man-made. So if we go into space, from there, if you look on our own planet, there's no boundary. Just one global. But here, you see, once we are here, we have, plenty of differences, demarcation, many differences. And with that basis, we are fighting. But if you look from there, you see, from distance, all are same. So, you see, because we are on the one planet, or one universe, one Earth. So, you see, naturally, we are dependent on,
We have to share both the... We have to experience both happiness as well as suffering.
So you see, the in that field, in economic field, some real understand, human understand to each other is something very important and useful. And also in the political field, ideology differences. If we concentrate or think on one same human being, then next, the differences of ideological system. The first most important thing is, even you see, due to ideology, due to national problem, if we regard as an enemy, as an ally, if you look deep, both are human beings. Enemy is not permanent enemy. today enemy, your attitude due to certain circumstances, today it is enemy. But due to certain factor, that enemy become a best friend. Can become. So you see, from that viewpoint, impermanent, and basically you see, human being, you see, our own brothers, our own sister, human being. So that is we must consider first, some sort of realization of human being, same human being, this is first. Then next, with that understanding, then you see, we can discuss about ideology, about system. Then some people want certain ideology, certain system, which is suitable for them, okay, it is their right. And from our side, our own belief, it is better to suit certain thing, we practice that. But you see, so you see, basically same. There's no point to quarrel. And small differences, it is something good for different people, different nation, different, even a family. You see, just one dish may not be, may not good for all your family member. You see, some are old, some are young, even some are, despite their like, may not suit for their stomach. So you see, each individual case, variety is better. Something like that in our human society. These, what do you call it, the different ideology, different system, different faith is, I think, we need, if we use properly. I think that is very, very useful and very good. So you see, things are depend on the basic feeling or basic attitude to same human being. On that, the love or kindness to each other, respect other, sharing other people's suffering, and thinking other people's, you see, welfare. So this is the something very, very urgent need. Today, we are not lacking in science and technology, in many fields. But here we are lacking in some kind of warm feeling here. If we lose that feeling, if we regard human fellow as some part of mission, one part of mission, as long as something useful we use, if not, then throughout. Not like that. Human being are human being, much more than a mission. So you see, if we are really, regard as a human fellow, something like mission, then these, elder people are not much use throughout. That's, against of real human nature. You see, so, here we must clearly recognize or the realization or the respect of the human value. The human soul or human self is much more precious than money, wealth. So you see, the respect or the recognition of same human and human value, so I think it's something very necessary and important. So I always express this feeling. And so you see here, now, this moment, we need some sort of, the universal responsibility, sense of universal responsibility on the basis of kindness and love. So this is my main feeling or main topic. This is first part. Now second part. I need interpreter. My poor English could not sufficient. My poor English not capable to express these things. So here. Ningji Gualia. Bang on the third message cigarette. Pearl Chashana Pajil Nanzu Pere Jidang Missin Alalia Ningji Pajishumbe.
The topic tonight is the message of Tibet. Among most Tibetans, most spend their lives within a sense of continuing compassion.
Siddhanta Michunjune, Ubuchunjane, Ramshin Mijunja Tatria, and Ninja Sabbath, Pajakal Jatis.
In general, even little children are used to sing, oh, pity or oh, compassion.
Any six symptoms necessary to tell? The children can take the division, Mijunja, chasing you in a minute.
And even from a small age, refrain from bringing harm to small bugs and so forth, whether these people believe in any religion or not. That they have this thought, I feel, is probably due to the fact of the presence of the Bodhisattva vehicle in Tibet. That's why I'm going to explain a little tonight about the mode of practicing compassion from within the scriptures of the Bodhisattva vehicle. So whether this is a message of Tibet or a message of India, I'm not sure to compete between these two.
So that, any ninja, ninja said the, that now we're trying to achieve that, that's what the Shaya Dhan, the Shaya Yin, ninja, Dongye Jin Na Wala, Misu Ni, any Dongye the Chandu Ge Da Lo, this is the ninja.
From the Buddhist perspective, compassion is an attitude in which one cares about others' suffering and wishes that they be free from that suffering. Now, for a little technical background on this, this attitude of first caring about others' suffering and wishing that they'd be free from suffering, first we need to identify who the persons are who are with respect to whom one feels compassion. And some tenet systems consider the person to be different from the mental and physical aggregates. And then some Buddhist systems consider that just the mental consciousness is the person. And one other system posits the person as something separate from the mental consciousness. They posit the person as the mind basis of all. However, in terms of the most profound system, the person is posited as the mere eye that is designated to mind and body. In brief, the person is just this eye, this sense of eye, that appears innately to our minds. And that eye cares about suffering, and the suffering which it cares about is of three types. The first is called the suffering of pain, which is what we commonly recognize as pain, such as a headache. And even animals wish to be free from such suffering. There are ways of avoiding some forms of this type of suffering, such as taking medicine, becoming warmer, putting on warm clothes, and moving moving away from the source.
Like that. Then second,
Then the second type of suffering is called the suffering of change. This is actually what we usually consider to be pleasurable feeling. For instance, when we're outside and it's cold, the feeling of cold is something that we want to remove, get rid of. Then when we come inside, there's the feeling of heat, and there's a sense of pleasure at that heat. This pleasure is an example of the suffering of change. And that's because if we stay too long in it, then we get too hot, and we have to get rid of that too. This is suffering because through change, let's say, it is through change that its nature of suffering is indicated. If it did have a nature of pleasure, then just like the causes of suffering, in which case the more you use them, the more suffering you get, so with the more you use these sources of pleasure, so much more pleasurable, so much more pleasure would you get. But this isn't the case.
Now this is the second category of suffering. Now third,
there do seem to be ways in which one could get away from the second type of suffering. Then the third type of suffering is called the suffering of pervasive conditioning. This acts as the basis of the other two types of suffering. When one investigates this, it is our own mental and physical aggregates that are posited as illustrations of this kind of suffering. And there's no way of getting rid of this, getting away from it. Therefore, in order to remove this type of suffering, it's necessary to end the continuum of rebirth. In order to develop a consciousness that wishes to be free from suffering, it's important to recognize these types of suffering. When one thinks about these types of suffering with respect to oneself, one generates a wish to get out of such cyclic existence and attain a liberation which involves a severing of the continuum of rebirth. And then when you think about these kinds of suffering with respect to other persons, one generates compassion. Then what is the mode of cultivating compassion itself? In general, there are two types of meditation. One is objective meditation and the other is subjective. For instance, with regard to the first, when one meditates on impermanence or on selflessness, one is taking either of those two as the object of apprehension of one's meditating consciousness.
But when one speaks of meditating love or meditating faith, one is cultivating one's own mind into love or into faith.
For both
of these types of meditation, one needs to have both analytical meditation in which one analyzes the object, and then stabilizing meditation in which one sets on the meaning realized. Now, if one is cultivating compassion, one takes as one's object of observation first a human who is in a very poor state from disease, so forth, a very stricken state. And a person who is close to oneself, with whom one is well acquainted. And then one should reflect. One should reflect on the fact that this person and oneself equally wants happiness and doesn't want suffering, and then imagine what kind of a condition oneself would be in if oneself had that sort of suffering, how one couldn't stand it. Then when one reflects on that suffering as being in the other person, one generates compassion. That's the first level of compassion. Then you should reflect on a person who is wealthy or in good state, and even though that person doesn't have the first type of suffering, that person has the second and the third. Then one can extend the number of sentient beings greater and greater and greater.
First, including your neighbor. Then gradually something like a district. Then gradually you see something, a state or a province. Then the whole country. Then whole global, that sort of thing. Gradually expand.
Then one's compassion becomes full-fledged. If one first attempted to generate compassion with respect to all people in general, then it couldn't arrive at all types.
You see, usually when we pray, all sentient beings, all men, humankind, despite your praying or thinking, when your neighbor making some irritation on you, you immediately forget. You see, we are thinking all humankind except your neighbor. this is something absolutely wrong. So you see, we must think, you see, from here, expand. So this is the way to, what to call, cultivate compassion. Now here perhaps,
perhaps some of you have an interest in meditation. Now in terms of the time of meditation, the morning is best. One needs just enough sleep. And not to eat too much in the evening before.
Mm. And
one needs to know what types of foods harm you and help you. What one needs is a sharp mind.
In one's
meditative session, one can visualize an object to meditate on, or can meditate on one's own mind. When one sets the mind on the object of observation, one needs to investigate the tightness or looseness of the mode of apprehension of the mind, it not being either too tight or too loose. If one's mode of apprehension is too heightened, there's a danger of generating excitement. But if one's the strength of one's mode of apprehension is too low, then there's a danger of generating lethargy and laxity. Therefore, it's necessary to have a moderation. This is to be determined on the basis of your own gradual experience. If one meditates in this way, gradually, little by little, one's mind will become sharper, more alert. And one's memory will become better. For somebody who is practicing a religion, the sharper and more alert mind can be used in that. And for those who want to use it in business, they can use it in business too.
So in every field, consciousness of our mind is something, all the time decision make here, so mind is something very important. So if your mind quality, the consciousness quality, increase, that you can use in any field.
Thank you. If you have any questions, please ask them.
It will take a minute.
Will the ushers now pass down the aisles with cards? If you would like to ask a question, please raise your hand and obtain a card and then give it back to the ushers. They'll be brought forward. So we'll have 3 or 4 minutes of relaxation. Stay seated if possible so that the hands can become visible.
I can stay if you want.
All right.
The first question. Your Holiness, I understand that you are an expert on shunyata, or emptiness. Could you explain the relationship of the Buddhist path to the idea of shunyata? Emptiness is a basis of the Buddhist path. For instance, with regard to compassion, there come to be different types based on the assistance provided by different types of wisdom. With regard to the meaning of emptiness, emptiness does not refer, say, to the type of situation in which there's no elephant here and therefore this spot is empty of there being an elephant. It's not that sort of thing. And emptiness doesn't mean that there was something there formerly which was later removed and thus isn't there now. Emptiness refers to something that exists right in the nature of an object right from its inception. Therefore, once there is an emptiness, there must be a phenomenon which is empty. Therefore, an emptiness is explained, is posited in relation to a subject that is empty. Because a particular substratum or object is a dependent arising, it is empty of inherent existence. Therefore, Buddha in the Heart Sutra said, form is emptiness, emptiness is form. Therefore, if one understands emptiness as meaning the inability of phenomena to perform functions, that is wrong. It is an extreme of nihilism. From within, the phenomena can be divided into positive phenomena and negative phenomena. Emptiness is a negative phenomenon. And within negative phenomena, there are two types, affirming negatives and non-affirming negatives, and an emptiness is a non-affirming negative. And thus, when an emptiness appears to the mind, just a mere elimination of an object of negation appears to the mind. I don't understand about the second and third kinds of compassion, of suffering, the suffering of well-to-do people. For instance, if you consider well-to-do people, they have even more worry than other people. And thus that indicates that happiness cannot come from wealth alone. Wealthy people often become slaves of money. Thus this indicates that wealth has a nature of suffering.
The third type of suffering is difficult to understand.
So it needs some detailed explanation, but we have no time. Difficult.
Can one attain enlightenment without becoming a monk and renouncing the world?
Oh, certainly. Certainly. Now here, I think I would like to say something. The renouncing, Letarva. The renouncing of the attachment to Matsya Vatarama, the
To renounce the world means to give up one's attachment to the world. It doesn't mean you have to separate yourself from it.
There you see, the very purpose of practice of Dharma or religion is serving for other. So in order to serve for other, you must remain in the society. You should not isolate from the rest of the society. So,
Does Your Holiness recognize the need for different religions throughout the world and respect a person's spiritual need for these variety of religions? Yes, of course.
As I mentioned earlier, you see, each individual, the certain philosophy is much more influential, influential. In some people, certain type of philosophy and religion is much more forceful for betterment or for change. So, believe in God for the right to any other.
Therefore, it's very helpful to have